Defense Secretary Robert Gates likes to say that in the spy business there are secrets and there are mysteries. Secrets you can steal. Mysteries are unknown. It's no secret that Robert Gates will stay on at the Pentagon under President Obama. The mystery is Robert Gates himself and how he changed. He was once a controversial Cold War spy. Now he's considered a wise man of national security and something of a rock star, as NPR Pentagon correspondent J.J. Sutherland learned.
It was supposed to be a farewell tour to Afghanistan and Iraq. The slightly short, slightly stocky man with white hair was greeted with wild cheers everywhere he went. But as with most old rockers, farewell tours never quite mean farewell. Despite saying it was inconceivable he would stay on in an Obama administration, Secretary Gates explained to the troops just last week in Afghanistan why he was not leaving just yet.
No reason was more compelling to me than the fact that if hundreds of thousands of young Americans are doing their duty, you doing your duty, without fail, and often under difficult and dangerous conditions, then I really had no choice but to do likewise.
Gates had been counting the days until he could rejoin his wife and children near Seattle.
It was my hope that if I made enough noise about how much I did not want to stay here and how much I wanted to go back to the Northwest, that I wouldn't have to worry about the question ever being asked. Because I also knew myself well enough to know that if the question was asked, what the answer would be.
In his 2 years at the Pentagon, the reviews have been good.
He is a professional to the core. He is a devoted patriot and someone that I think everybody can respect.
I think Secretary Gates has brought the Pentagon some distance back towards where it optimally would be.
I have the impression from talking to people who were there before Bob came and after that the building collectively heaved a huge sigh of relief after Bob came and when they saw how he worked and how he dealt with them.
That was Brent Scowcroft, Gates' friend and a former national security advisor. Before that, William Cohen, who was defense secretary under President Clinton, and Richard Danzig, an advisor to Barack Obama. But the reluctant servant is not the Bob Gates people recall from a generation ago. He was tough, ambitious, and didn't suffer fools. Gates is also an unapologetic cold warrior. The last line in his memoir is, "It was a glorious crusade." He was recruited by the CIA straight out of grad school in the 60s.
I met Bob Gates on his first day in the office at the CIA and took Bob to lunch that first day. I came back and told my colleagues, I said, you know, I think I've just had lunch with a future CIA director.
Mel Goodman is a former CIA analyst who worked with Bob Gates for years. They were close friends. He says Gates outworked everyone at CIA. He was so competitive that when Goodman beat Gates at tennis one day, badly, they never played again. Their friendship ended in the mid-80s. Here's why. Goodman says Gates ordered up a secret memo that claimed the Soviet Union was involved in the plot to kill the Pope in 1981. Goodman says Gates was trying to please his boss, then CIA director William Casey.
I went to Bob and said, this is an integrity issue. You know darn well that the Soviets weren't involved. You know that our evidence is very good. And in the operational directorate, where they had very good sources in Eastern Europe, they essentially knew that the Soviets weren't involved. And Bob really blew up over the issue of his integrity.
In his memoir, Gates offered a more nuanced version of the story, saying there were arguments on both sides of the issue, and called Soviet involvement in the plot one of the great remaining secrets of the Cold War. Gates' rise to the top at CIA was derailed by other controversies, chief among them, the Iran-Contra affair. In 1987, Ronald Reagan nominated him for the job, but Gates withdrew his name after it became clear he wouldn't be confirmed. He was nominated again in 1991 by the first President Bush. His old friend, Mel Goodman, along with other former CIA analysts, testified against him. Here's Harold Ford, who had been a protege of Gates.
Many will share my view that Bob Gates has often depended too much on his own individual analytic judgments and has ignored or scorned the views of others whose assessments did not accord with his own.
The man who had outworked everyone at CIA then outworked his critics. He jammed two briefcases full of documents and spent 48 hours in a hotel room reviewing each and every attack against him. And then, he writes in his memoir, he got mad. You can hear the anger in his testimony back in 1991.
We were wrong at times, but our judgments were honest, and unaffected by a desire to please or to slant. I was demanding and blunt, probably sometimes too much so. I'm open to argumentation, and there was a lot of that. And I never distorted intelligence to support policy or to please a policymaker.
He won the argument and led CIA for a little more than a year, until Bill Clinton became president. By the end of the decade, Gates had landed at Texas A&M. He became president of the university in 2002. Robert Bednarz has been a professor at the school for 35 years. The Gates he describes doesn't sound much like the blunt, demanding CIA officer.
We're skeptical initially because of his background, but he turned out to be a wonderful administrator and very strongly believed in the notion of shared governance and consensus building and that sort of thing.
In the fall of 2006, Gates was called back to run the Pentagon. This time around, his confirmation hearing was very different. It lasted only a day. Democrats, like Carl Levin of Michigan, tired of then-Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, simply wanted someone to state the obvious.
Mr. Gates, do you believe that we are currently winning in Iraq?
No, sir.
Today, 2 years on, Gates might answer differently. The secretary was in Iraq just last week, where he met with soldiers.
Thanks for your service.
Thanks for your service. Thanks for your service. He says it over and over, with a smile and just enough time for a picture. Gates shook the hand of every single soldier. There were hundreds of them. Gates' task now will be to shift some of those troops from Iraq to Afghanistan. The Afghan-Pakistan border is the place where his old career at CIA collides with his new career at the Pentagon.
And I've just put it to you in historical terms. 22 years ago, when I was the deputy director of CIA, we were on that side of the border, taking advantage of that safe haven to come after the Soviets here in Afghanistan. It's a lesson I haven't forgotten.
Today, some of the very people he helped are still sending fighters across the border, only this time it's to attack Americans. The man who once armed the Afghan insurgents is now responsible for hunting them down. J.J. Sutherland, NPR News.